Hey, good morning. Today's daf is Yevamah's daf Mem Gimel. We left off on daf Mem Beis and Beis. We're probably going to back up a tiny bit, actually, even though we didn't quite make it to the bottom of the Yamed, just because I don't want to start mid topic. So we'll begin, call it 20 lines-ish up from the bottom of the Yamed. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored L'tzchus Rafua Shleima for Esther Basara. We hope she has a refuah shleima b'toch shor chol Yisrael. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are going to start with the discussion. We have been talking yesterday in the Mishnah about the concept of havchana generally. Havchana, again, the requirement that a woman wait for 3 months between marriages. And the reason for havchana, we saw yesterday, two reasons. Number one, just so that we know with certainty the lineage of Jewish children. We should know their paternal lineage. The other issue, a more practical issue brought down in the Gemara yesterday, was we simply need to know which child belongs to which father in order to guard against the possibility of being pogam be'erva, because a person has to know whether somebody is his paternal sibling, his maternal sibling. It just gets very confusing whether a woman is required to do yibum, whether a child is considered to be the child of a woman, which would absolve her from doing yibum, so on and so forth. So again, there was this concept of havchana we saw already in the Mishnah a couple of days ago. We were discussing yesterday. There was a machlokas in the Mishnah that we saw yesterday, and we had been discussing the shita of Rabbi Yossi, whether havchana is absolute, whether a person always requires the 3 month waiting period between relationships, or whether it was more practical. For example, was it really designed to determine the paternity of a child? Because if so, it would only make sense to have that havchana to impose that waiting period between two different relationships that could result in the woman giving birth to a child. For example, if a woman goes from one nisuin to another nisuin, it would require havchana. But if a woman goes from an erusin, from the state of betrothal, where the person is not having relations with her husband-to-be, to a case of nisuin, or vice versa, if a person goes from nisuin to a case of erusin, where again, the woman is not having bia with her arus, then maybe it doesn't make sense to have havchana. So we saw yesterday the shita of Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says that you don't require havchana if you're going between relationships where there is no possibility that the woman is going to give birth to a child. Then we saw Rav Yochanan Pasad, that we saw the Rav Yochanan Paskind like Rav Yossi in the Gemara. That's where we left off. And then we said that Rav Yochanan retracted his ruling. So we're going to talk about why exactly Rav Yochanan retracted his ruling. In that context, we're going to talk about the concept of Stam Mishnah and whether a Stam Mishnah is authoritative. Does it matter whether there is a machlokes about the topic that the Stam Mishnah rules on, whether the machlokes comes before the Stam Mishnah, after the Stam Mishnah, whether the machlokes is actually in a brisa, whether that has any bearing on how we paskin. And then, on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going on to Amud Beis, again, in the context of Havchana, we're going to talk about the possibility of having Erusin during a period of Avelus. And we'll see why we're going to get into that in the Gemara. And then, in the context of Erusin during Avelus, the Gemara is going to distinguish between two types of Avelus, between a communal Avelus, which is what we observe during the 9 days, and Shavua Shechalbo Tishavav, and a personal Avelus, which is obviously what a person observes when he or she loses a close relative. So again, let's pick up again, let's call it 20 lines up from the bottom of the Amud on Mem Beis Amud Beis, but we will read quickly the part that we covered yesterday. So let's start where it says, you see the small bays at the beginning of the line, so a little bit more than halfway down the Amud, second to last word on the line, where, again, at first we said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, and the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi in that you only require havchana where there was a possibility that the woman could actually give birth to a child in the two relationships. But if there is no possibility that the woman would give birth, then there's no need for havchana. The Gemara observed, because we had a machlokas in our Mishnah, if we're paskening like Rabbi Yossi, it is obvious that it's a das yachid that's arguing on Rabbi Yossi, and that's why we would be entitled to pasken like him, because if it was a rabbim arguing on Rabbi Yossi, then we would follow the klal of psak of yachid v'rabim halacha kir rabim, and we wound up saying, that the shita that argues on Rabbi Yossi was Rav Meir, because we brought down a whole a whole group of women where it was basically impossible that there would ever be a child from the first union. For example, let's say the woman was married to a guy and the guy was in jail. So we know that they didn't have bia because the guy was locked up in jail. And then that marriage ended. The question is, can she get married to another guy within 90 days, within 3 months? And Rav Meir had said, flat rule, doesn't matter what the circumstances were, she can never get married within 90 days of the termination of her first marriage. And we attributed that shita to Rav Meir. And then we saw that Rav Yossi says that it's mutter for her to either get engaged or get married right away, because there's no possibility that she was actually going to have a child from the first union. So now says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Chazar Rav Yossi, Chazar Rav Yochanan, Chazar bar Rav Yochanan, that Rav Yochanan was chozer from his psak, that the halacha is like Rav Yossi. And then the Gemara observes, Amar Rav Yosef, I hadar bei, mimas nisa de karma hadar bei. If in fact Rav Yochanan retracted his psak, that and now understands that the halacha is not like Rav Yossi, the reason that he rules that the halacha is not like Rav Yossi is because of the Mishnah in Kerem B'Yavna. What was the Mishnah that they taught in Kerem B'Yavna? So the Gemara explains. Tanya, Amar Rav Yishmol, Benosha Rav Yochanan ben Broka, Shemati mipi chachamim b'Kerem B'Yavna. I heard from the chachamim in Kerem B'Yavna. So from the fact that he attributes this ruling to the chachamim, what do we see? The chachamim obviously are rabbis, plural, so it's not a singular view. It's a rabbim, not a yachid. But I heard from the rabbim in Kerem B'Yavneh, from the rabbanon, the rabbim in Kerem B'Yavneh, kulan srichas lamtin shlosha chadashim, that everybody has to wait 3 months. It doesn't matter what the circumstances were. It doesn't matter whether the woman could have had a kid from the first husband, couldn't have had a kid from the first husband. You always require avchana of shlosha chadashim. So amrili Rav Yirmiyahu Rav Zerikra, ki ailus lekamei de Rav Avo, ramilei. So when you go to Rav Avo, so ask him, mi amar Rav Yochanan halacha k'Rav Yossi? Does Rav Yochanan really say that the halacha is like Rav Yossi? In other words, how could he have said that the halacha is like Rav Yossi anyway? V'yamar Rav Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah. But Rav Yochanan also says that the halacha is like a stam mishnah. And v'tnan, and we learn in our mishnah, in fact, kol anoshim lo yinosu v'lo yisarsu, all women, unqualified, all women, lo yinosu, cannot get married, v'lo yisarsu, nor can they have erisin, ad sheyu lahem shlosha chadashim, until they wait for 3 months. Achas besulos, v'achas be'ulos, whether they were besula, whether they were be'ula. So we have a stam mishnah that paskins against Rav Yossi, because the stam mishnah, our mishnah, says that you always require avchana. So if we have a stam mishnah that says that you always require avchana, how could it be that Rav Yochanan would paskin like Rav Yossi anyway? Samarlei, the ramalacha ha lo chosh lekimche, that whoever asks this question, how could it be that Rav Yochanan paskins like Rav Yossi, he doesn't grind his flour, meaning he doesn't pay attention to the Mishnayos, because you're asking a klutz kasha. Stam v'yachakach machlokes hi, because it's not pashat a stam mishnah, it's not a simple stam mishnah. This is a stam mishnah which is followed by a machlokes. Vein halacha kestam, and when you have a stam, and then you have a machlokes that argues, where we bring down a shita that argues on that stam mishnah, the halacha is not like the stam mishnah. If you have a machlokas in the Mishnayos, and then there's a subsequent Mishnah with an anonymous shita that paskins like one of those tzedadim, then the halacha is like the stam. However, stam v'yachakach machlokas, if you first have the stam Mishnah, and after you have a Mishnah that brings down a machlokas, then ein halacha kestam. Then the halacha is not like the stam mishnah. Now, what does it mean when we say in halacha kestam? So predictably, that is a machlokes rishonim. There are some rishonim, rov rishonim actually, you say, that if there's a stam mishnah and that's followed by a machlokes, the halacha in the mishnah with the machlokes is like the tzad that argues on the stam. That's what it means. Stam v'yachakach machlokes in halacha kestam. Because obviously, if there was a stam and then there's a machlokas, one of the tzedadim and the machlokas is taking the side of the stam mishnah. But when we say in halacha kestam, it means we paskin like the other shita. Others say we don't know. There's no definitive way. There's no outcome determinative psak here, because if there's a stam and there's a machlokas, basically what we have is a suffolk. We have a 50-50. We don't know who to paskin like, but it doesn't definitely mean, it doesn't definitively mean that we paskin against the stam. And then there are other Rishonim who say, no, we actually do paskin like the stam. Why? We paskin like the stam, but not because of the stam mishnah. We paskin like the stam because if we have a stam mishnah, and then we have a machlokas between two yechidim, and one of those yechidim take the side of the stam mishnah, So it turns out the side of the Stam is not a Yachid, it's actually a Rabin, because we have the Stam plus the Shita and the Machlokas that holds like the Stam, and therefore some Rishonim say, we actually do Paskan like the Stam, but not because it's a Stam Mishnah. We Paskan like a Stam because of the general Klala Psak of Yachid V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim. But back to our Gemara, the statement was made that if Rav Yochanan retracted his psak, that the halacha is like Rav Yossi, he did so because of our Stam Mishnah. And Rav Avo said, this is not a good analysis, because yes, even though our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, it's a Stam V'yachakach Machlokas, and therefore ein halacha k'stam. Okay, back in the Gemara, four lines up from where the lines get wide, which is also six lines up from the bottom of the page. So, Mistame Fiyazel Rav Avo, Akasfei de Rav Nachum Shameh. Rav Avo was leaning on the shoulder of Rav Nachum, his servant, and Mankit Viazil Hilchas Aminei. And Rav Nachum was collecting halachas from Rav Avo as they were walking on their way. So boy minei, so he asked him a question. Machlokas v'achakach stam mai. What if you have a machlokas and mishnayis, and after that you have a stam mishnah? Amar lei halacha k'stam, pashat halachas like the stam mishnah. Stam v'achakach machlokas. What if first you have the stam mishnah, after that you have the mishnah which has two different shitos, and one of which argues on the Stam. So Amar Lei, in halacha k'stam, so the halacha is not like the Stam Mishnah. Now, Stama b'nafs nisin machlokas b'braisa mai, if you have a Stam Mishnah, and then you have a machlokas, but not a machlokas a mishnayis, but a machlokas in a braisa, what's the halacha? So Amar Lei, halacha k'stam. So he says that the halacha is still like the Stam. In other words, it's not considered to be a Stam v'achar kach machlokas, because the only time we count the machlokas is if the machlokas is in Mishnayis, not if the Machlokas is in a Braisa. The Rashba points out that this is Rav Avo Shita. There are also Shitas that say that the general rule of Stam V'yachakach Machlokas applies even if the Machlokas is in a Braisa, not only if the Machlokas is in a Mishnah. But Rav Avo for himself holds that the Stam V'yachakach Machlokas only applies if the Machlokas is in a Braisa, is in a Mishnah. But if the Machlokas is in a Braisa, the Halacha is still like the Stam Mishnah. Now, what if Machlokas B'masnis and V'stam B'braisa? What if we have a Machlokas in the Mishnah? So we said that Machlokas V'yachakach Stam, Halacha Stam. So what if the Machlokas is in a Mishnah, and then the Stam is in a Braisa, it's not in a Mishnah. So what's the Halacha in that case? Samar Lei, V'chi Rebbe Lo Shana Rebchi Aminayin Lo. If Rebbe, who was Masadra the Mishnayis, was not aware of this Stam Mishnah, because there is no Stam Mishnah, it's only in a Braisa. So Rav Chia, who was Masader the Braisas, how would he know about this Stam in order to incorporate it? And therefore we think that we view the Stam as if it's not authoritative. And therefore, if you have a Machlokas in the Mishnah, and after that a Stam in the Braisa, the Halacha is not like the Stam. Good. So says the Gemara, Vaiter, top line of Mem Gimel Amid Aleph. Samar Lei, Vatnan. So we're going to try to bring a raya against this general framework from the following Mishnah. This Mishnah has nothing to do with Yavamas, has nothing to do with Havchana, but we're going to try to use this Mishnah as a raya that we do pay attention to to Braisos that follow Mishnayis in terms of setting the halacha in these cases of Stam V'yachakach Machlokas, Machlokas V'yachakach Stam. So not too difficult though. So says the Gemara. So Amar Lei. But we learn in the Mishnah, Misrok Shel Pishtan, if you have a flax comb, you have a comb for flax, Shenitlu Shinav, and the comb is missing some of its teeth. Now, obviously, the comb is not effective if it's missing too many of its teeth, right? Because you need all the teeth in the comb in order to comb the flax. So, v'nishtayru bo shtayim, and there are two teeth remaining. Then, tameos, then it retains its status of tuma, it could become tame, it could be mekabel tuma. Why? Because it's considered a kli, because there were two teeth in the comb next to each other. You can still comb flax with it, therefore it's still considered a kli, and it's mekabel tuma. The achas tahora. However, if all of the teeth fell out, now you're left with a comb with only one tooth. So you ever try to comb your hair with a comb that has only one tooth? It doesn't work. Therefore, it's not considered to be a kli. Because it's no longer considered to be a kli, it's not going to be mekabel tuma. Now, the kulan shenitlu achas b'fnei atzman tameos. Now, each of the teeth that come out, they themselves retain their status of being roy lekabel tuma. Forgetting about the comb, each of the teeth unto themselves, because those teeth could be used as a kli. They could be used as a toothpick. They could be used to stretch out cloth. They could be used for whatever you want to use it, but it still has the status of a kli. Now, sheltsemer, that's only by a comb of flax. How about a comb for wool? Shenitlu shinav, achas me bentayim. If even one tooth is missing from the middle of the comb, tar, then it's going to be tar. It loses the status of a kli. Now, nishtayrobo gimel b'mokam echad, however, if three teeth are arranged, are remaining consecutively in a row, then b'mokam echad, then tamei, then it's going to be tamei because it retains its status of a kli. Haisachitzona, if one of the teeth is the outer tooth, then achas me'em tahara. Then if one of them is taken, then it retains the status of a kli and it's going to be tar. Nitlu beis, if two of the teeth fell out, however, basol, the malakate, and then you converted the teeth into a tweezer, you MacGyver the teeth into a tweezer, then tameos, then it's going to be tame because the tweezer is also a kli. Achas, if you have one tooth and you're still using it as a kli, viskina lener, and you're using it as a wick, o lemituach, or to stretch out cloth, then tamea, then it's going to be tame. V'kaimelon, deina lacha kosa mishnah. And we say that the halacha is not like that mishnah. Now, why would halacha not be like this mishnah? This mishnah is a stam mishnah. Why would halacha not be like the stam mishnah? Isn't it because there's a brisa that argues on this mishnah? And from here we see that if you have a stam, the akrakach machlokes, even if the machlokes is in a brisa, we're not going to paskin like the stam mishnah, and that's akasha on Rav Avoh's shita, because Rav Avoh said the whole idea of stam v'yachakach machlokas, machlokas v'yachakach stam, only applies when both of them are in mishnayis. But if here we have a case where we don't paskin like the stam mishnah, isn't it because of the machlokas in a brisa that follows? Says the Gemara, nope, amar le bar mina dahi. Forget about this mishnah, it's not a raya. Rav Yochanan Rav Shlokesh Damar Tavayu Zuena Mishnah, because they say this is not an authoritative Mishnah at all. So the fact that we don't paskin like this Mishnah doesn't mean that we don't paskin like it because it's a stam v'yachakach machlokas in a brisa. It means that we don't paskin like this Mishnah because this Mishnah is a corrupt Mishnah. Why is this Mishnah a corrupt Mishnah? So my time is Amar Rav Huna Bar Manoach Mishmei Ravidi Berei Ravika Misham Dekasha Reisha L'Seifa, because the Mishnah is inherently contradictory. Tiktani, because we learn as follows: Shal Semer Shenitlu Shinav. First, we say that if you have a comb for wool where one tooth is missing, it's going to be tar because it's no longer a kli. But then you told me the mashmos is that if there's only one tooth remaining, then it's going to be tamei. But if there's two teeth remaining, then it's going to if there's one tooth remaining, then it's going to be tar because it's no longer a kli. But if there's two teeth remaining, then it's going to be tar. But then v'hadar tain in ishtayrabah gimel tamei. But then the Mishnah says, if three teeth remain in one place and it's tamei, because it's still a kli, mashmos is gimel in shtayim lo. But if only two teeth remain, then it's going to be tar, because it's no longer a kli. So from the Reisha, I'm a dayak that if there are two teeth in one place, it's going to be tamei. From the Seifa, I'm a dayak that if there are two teeth in one place, it's going to be tar, because it's not a kli. So we don't know what the status is when it has two teeth remaining in one place, because the Mishnah is inherently contradictory. So says the Gemara, Umay Kasha, but what's the Kasha? Dilma ha begav yasa, ha bivri yasa. One situation is talking about the inner row, and in the inner row of teeth, if there are two teeth remaining, it's going to be tamei, because it's still considered to be a kli. But in the outer row, there need to be three teeth remaining in order for it to retain its status of a kli. Ela mehacha. The reason that it's not an authoritative Mishnah is because of the following. Diktani, v'kulan shenitlu achas achas b'pnei atzman tameos. Because what we had said in the Reisha of this Mishnah is that if the teeth fell out and you're using each individual tooth as a kli unto itself, then it's going to be tame. It's going to be mekabel tama. V'afal gavdalo eskina. Mashma that it doesn't require any preparation, just simply each tooth as it falls out of the comb is going to be Mekabel Tumah. It's going to be right, Lekabel Tumah. But in a Seifa, but then you look at the Seifa of this Mishnah, Achas Veskina Laner. We said if a tooth fell out of the comb and you were misaken it to use as a ner, Olamituach, or to stretch out cloth, then Tamea, which is the Mashma, Hiskina in, Lo Hiskina Lo. That the only time it's going to be Mekabel Tumah is if you were metaken it for use as a kli. But if you were not metaken it for use as a kli, then it's not going to be Mekabel Tumah. So the Reisha tells me I don't need any tikkun. It's Tumah automatically. The Seifa tells me I need tikkun. Therefore, the Mishnah is contradictory between the Reisha and the Seifa. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Umi Mai Kushya, but this is also not a Kasha. Dilma Hagibasyo Habelo Kasyu. One is in a situation where the teeth have handles, and the other is in a situation where the teeth don't have handles. So if the teeth have a place where you could grab onto them, then that does not require a tikkun, because as it is, they're going to be fit for use as a kli. If they're the type of teeth that doesn't have a base yad, it doesn't have a place to grab onto, then the only way you could use it as a kli is if you manufacture a handle. So it's the Mishnah is not inherently contradictory. Maybe we're talking about two different cases of metzias. Samar Papa Umay Kusha Vidilma Habakatinta Habalimtar. Maybe we're talking one situation. We're talking about narrow teeth. And in the other situation, where you have a narrow tooth, it's not going to be mekabel tumah unless you were metaken it, because you need to do something in order to make it usable. But where it's a wide tooth and it doesn't require any manipulation to make it usable, then it's going to be mekabel tumah even without a tikkun. So yeah, the Mishnah might be a little contradictory, but it's not really a contradiction. Maybe we're talking about different cases of metzias. Ella mishum de mesaimi ba dafkani zudiv Rav Shimon. The reason that we can't bring a raya from this at all is because those who were actually medaktik in the gersos, they didn't learn it as a stam Mishnah. They said zudiv Rav Shimon. They attributed the Mishnah to the shita of Rav Shimon. So this is not a stam Mishnah at all. So we were trying to bring a raya that the halacha is not like a stam Mishnah because we don't paskin like this Mishnah. Must be because there's a brisa with a machlokas. No, we don't paskin like this because this is a das yachid. It's a das yachid of Rav Shimon because there were those who specifically attribute this shita to, this Mishnah rather, to Rav Shimon. All right, says the Gemara, Vayter, about halfway down. Shalach Rav Chiya bar Avin, Shalach Rav Chiya bar Avin. So Rav Chiya bar Avin said as follows, Ma'arsin toch gimel, that you can go into Erusin within 3 months after the termination of a first marriage. And so they did. They actually did this in practice. Again, because the whole reason for Avchana is to make sure that we can be mavchin bein zara lezeh lezara shalzeh, so we know whose child it is. If you're leaving a marriage but going into erusin, where you're not living with the husband anyway, you're not having relations with the husband anyway, and there's no danger that you're going to have a child from the second relationship, then it's going to be fine. And now he said as follows, that rubo shel rishon, when we say 3 months, we mean rov of the first month, rubo shel shlishi, and rov of the third month, Vemtsoi Shalem, and the entire second month. In other words, for even those who require Avchana, Avchana doesn't mean a full 90 days. Avchana means most of the first month, most of the third month, and the entire second month. The question is, if the point of Avchana is for Hukor Ubra, if the point of Avchana is so that we know whose child it is, and we said already yesterday in the Gemara that Hukar Uvra after 3 months, that after 3 months we know whether she's pregnant or not. So if we wait 3 months and we see she's not pregnant, then we know that any time she gets pregnant is from the second husband. It's not from the first husband. So if Hukar Uvra is going to take us 90 days, why would it be that Rove of the first month, Rove of the second month, and then the Rove of the third month, and then the second month, that will come out that in a little bit more than 60 days, she's going to get married. But if it's 90 days for Karubra, why would she be able to get married after 60 days? So says Rav Yosef Engel that the Gemara over here doesn't mean that between Nisuin and Nisuin you could do the shtick where you're waiting only a little bit more than 60 days. But this is Dafka by Erusin. And the reason that we make this dispensation by Erusin is because by Erusin, there's no reason for you to wait at all, because there's no chance that she's going to get pregnant from her second husband, because she's not having bia with her second husband. The whole reason that we would have Avchana even to go into Erusin is only because of a gzera. It's only a takana, gzera, atu nisuin, that we're going to make our wait by Erusin also. So says Rav Yosef Engel, by nisuin, you have to wait the full 90 days, because that's the period of Hukar Ubra. We're going to extend the Gzeira even to Erusin, but it doesn't make sense that you require her to wait the whole 90 days, and therefore you're only going to require Rubo Shel Rishon, Rubo Shel Shlishi, and the entire and the entire second month. However, there are other achronim who explain that really hukar ubra happens after 60 days. And that's why what we're talking about here is not between Nisuin and Erusin, but we're talking about between Nisuin and Nisuin, still you only have to wait 60 days. The question is, why would you only have to wait, if hukar ubra is after 60 days, why would you have to wait 90 days for Nisuin? And the answer is because there's a miyut of women who don't have hukar ubra until after 90 days. And therefore, by Nisuin, we want to be extra strict, and therefore we're gozer that everybody has to wait for 90 days. However, by Erusin, we're not going to be gozer that everybody has to wait for 90 days just because of those women who don't have hukar ubra until after 90, because there are women who have hukar ubra after 60. So, good. Says the Gemara Naviter. So, Amemar, shall read the Oras Biyom Tishim. Amemar permitted one to actually have Erusin on the 90th day, and this is because Mixas Hayom Kikulo. So Amar Rav Ashi Lameimar, Var Rav Shmuel Damri Tavai Esrich Lamtem Gimel Chadashim. How could you let them get engaged on the 90th day? We see that you have to wait for a full 3 months. Chutz Miyom Shemesbo, Chutz Miyom Shemesarisbo. Not counting the day that the first husband died, not counting the day that she gets engaged to the second husband. So how could you let her get engaged on the 90th day? We have to wait the full 90 days. Says the Gemara, Hulinya Menekes Itmar. That was only for a Menekes. That was for the woman who's nursing, where you don't count the day of death or the last day in the period of nursing. The Rav Shmuel Bar Mitzvayu, Tzrich Lamta B'Chavdal Chodesh, you have to wait for 24 months, Chutz Miyom Shenolabov, Chutz Miyom Shenizar Sabo, except for the day that the baby was born, not counting the day the baby was born, not counting the day that she gets engaged. Why would you not count those days by Meinekes, but you would be able to get engaged on the 90th day for Avchana purposes? Because again, as we saw yesterday in the Gemara, by Meinekes, there is an inyan of Sakanas Nefashos, because we're afraid that if she's nursing and then she gets engaged or married and then she gets pregnant, then her milk is going to sour. She's not going to be able to nurse the baby that's already alive, and maybe she's not going to find food for it, and that's going to wind up in a case of Sakanas Nefashos. Says the Gemara, how could you tell me that by Erusin you are allowed to get married on the 90th day? Because it's only by Menekes that we don't count the bookend days. Either was a situation where somebody made a Sudas Erusin on the 90th day of Afsid Ravala Sudase, and Rava made him throw out his whole Suda because he didn't wait until the 91st day. Says the Gemara, he's Sudas Nisuin Havoy. No, that wasn't a Sudas Erusin. Get your facts straight. That was a Sudas Nisuin. And by Nisuin, you have to wait until day 91. By Erusin, you can get engaged even on day 90. Vilchas, however, Paskins the Gemara, Tzri Chalamten Chavda Lechodesh Chutz Miyam Shenolobo Vchutz Miyam Shenisar Sabo, Vitzri Chalamten Gimel Chadashab Chutz Miyam Shemesbo Vchutz Miyam. Even to go from Nisuin to Erusin, you have to wait the full 90 days. And when we say 90 days, don't cut corners. You can't get engaged on the 90th day. You are not allowed to get engaged until after the 90 days, meaning not until the 91st day. Good. Says the Gemara Vayter. The Mishnah had said that Chutz Min Almana, the Rav Yossi had said that all married women can go into Erusin at once, because again, the reason for Avchana, according to Rav Yossi, is so that we know whose child it is. If the second relationship is one where we know she's not going to have a child right away, because they would have Erusin for a year, then not going to be a problem. She's allowed to go into Erusin right away, except for an Almana who has to wait 30 days, but not because of Avchana. The Almana has to wait 30 days only because she's an Avela. She's an Almana, after all. And during your period of Shloshim, she is not supposed to get engaged. Says the Gemara Vayter. So Amar Rav Chista, Kavachomer, it's a Kavachomer. Now, Uma b'makam she'asar l'chabes. Madach, in a place, in a situation where it's usur to do kibbutz, it's usur to launder clothing, mutter le'ares, still it is mutter to get engaged. Makom shemutter lechabes, in a situation during shloshim where it's mutter to be mechabes clothing, ein adin shemutter liares, shouldn't it be a kal v'chomer that she is allowed to have erusin? So why do you tell me that an almana can't have erusin for 30 days for the period of shloshim? If she's allowed to wash her clothing during that period, then she should certainly be allowed to get engaged, because there's an other situation where she's not allowed to wash her clothing and she's still allowed to get engaged. What is that? Mahi, what's that situation? The Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah. Shabbat, Shechal, Tisha B'Av, Besocha, Shavuot, Shechal, Bo, Tisha B'Av. Asur, L'Sapar, L'Chabes, you're not allowed to take a haircut, you're not allowed to launder your clothing. V'chamish, Yibutar, Rav Neh, Kavet Shabbos. Parenthetically, on Thursday, it's Mutar, because of Kavet Shabbos. V'Tanya, Kodem Azman Azeh. But we learn, before this time, Ha'am Mematin Biskayim, that the community is Mamait Biskayim. They stop doing work. They stop engaging in constructive matters. Melisa, Melitain, from doing business. Melivnos, Valentoa, from building things. Uma Arsin, and they get engaged. Avalokonsin, but they don't have Nisuin. They ain't osin sudas erisin, and they don't make a sudas erisin. So, what we see over here in the Mishnah is that there is a period of time, meaning Shavuot Shechalbo, where you're not allowed to launder clothing, but you're allowed to get engaged. So if during Shavuot Shechalbo Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to launder clothing, but you're allowed to get engaged, so a woman, when she's in Almana, if she's in Shloshim, when she is allowed to launder her clothing, certainly she should be allowed to get engaged. Says the Gemara, there's no raya from here. So Kitanya I kodem to kodem. Over there, we're talking about kodem to kodem, meaning before the Shavuot Shechalbo, meaning during the 9 days. Because if you read the Gemara carefully, the Gemara says Shavuot Shechalbo, Shavuot Shechal Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to launder your clothing. And then it said kodem hazman hazeh, you're allowed to get engaged. So says the Gemara, yeah, you have to be medayik. During Shavuot Shechalbo, maybe you're not allowed to get engaged. During the 9 days, but before Shavuot Shechalbo, that's when you're allowed to get engaged. So Kitanya I kodem to kodem. So maybe over there we're talking about before the Shavuot Shechalbo. Samar Rava, v'kodem to kodem nami kavachomer. But even with the whole 9 days is a kavachomer. Maba makam shasar lisa v'litin mutar la'areis. Madach, in a situation where you're not allowed to do business, but you're still allowed to get engaged, meaning during the entire 9 days. So makam shemutar lisa v'litin, in a situation where it's mutar to do business, i.e. during Shloshim, you're allowed to work. It's only during Shiva that you're not allowed to work. In adin shemutar lisa le'areis, isn't it a kavachomer that you are allowed to get engaged? So lo tema de Rav Yosi Omer kolanoshim yisarsu ela kama ela ima kolanoshim yinasu. Says the Gemara, yeah, you're right, you are allowed to get engaged. But maybe Rav Yosi is not talking of that all women are allowed to get engaged within 30, all women are allowed to get engaged immediately except for the almana who needs to wait 30 days because of avelos. Maybe what Rav Yosi says was that all women are allowed to get married immediately because he doesn't require Rav Chana at all except for an almana, because an almana has to wait 30 days before she gets married. But in a chanami, she'd be allowed to get engaged right away. So says the Gemara, flipping over to Mem Gimel Amud Beis, Vlesli the Rav Yosi Lahavchin, and does Rav Yosi not hold from Rav Chana at all? How could it be that Rav Yosi says that every woman's allowed to go from one marriage to another immediately, except for the almana who has to wait 30 days? Says the Gemara, Lesle, yes, you're right. Rav Yosi does not require Havchana at, Rav Yosi does not require Havchana at all. Viba Sema, or maybe you could say, Liolam Isle, really Rav Yosi does require Havchana. The Hema, Rav Yosi Omar, Kol Arusos Gerushos Yinasu, that all Arusos whose state of Erison end in divorce, they're allowed to get married right away. Because again, until now we've been discussing a situation where the woman is married and then she's going into a second relationship where it's going to be impossible for her to have a child. Says the Gemara, the same thing holds true where she's leaving a relationship where it's impossible for her to have a child, going into a new relationship where she can have a child. There still would be no basis for Havchana because it's impossible for her to have a child in one of these two relationships. So if she was first had an Erison that ended in divorce, then she's going to be allowed to get married right away because she definitely did not have a child from the first arus. Says the Gemara, but Iachi Hainu de Rav Yehuda, but that's a sheet of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda already told us that that people who have an erusin are allowed to get married right away. So Ika Benayu Nesua Li Ares. So the difference is whether a Nesua can get engaged right away. So Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda Savar Nesua Mutaras La Ares. Rav Yehuda says that a Nesua can have Erusin right away, because we know that she's not going to get pregnant from the second relationship, because it's only an Erusin, it's not a Nesuin. Rav Yossi Sofer Nesua Asura L'Sareis. However, Rav Yossi says that a Nesua is not allowed to go into Erusin right away because of Gzeira D'Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, V'Sofer Rav Yossi Nesua Asura L'Sareis. But does Rav Yossi really say that a Nesua is not allowed to have Erusin? V'Tani Rav Yossi Omer Kol Anoshim Yisarsu Chutz Min Almana B'mnei Evil. Rav Yossi is the one who says that all women who are in the marriage are allowed to have Erusin right away, except for an Almana, because the Almana is still in Avelas. The Kama Evil, Shalosh, Shloshim Yom. And how much is Rav Avelas? Is 30 days. V'kulam o yinosu, and all women should not get married, ad shiulem gimel chadoshim, until they wait 3 months. How could you tell me that Rav Yossi requires one to wait for Erusin? Rav Yossi is the one who says that you don't have to wait for Erusin in our Mishnah. So, hi, my Kusha. What's the Kasha? Ilei medektani Rav Yossi amar kol anoshim yisarsu. So, if the Kasha is from the fact that Rav Yossi says that all women can get engaged right away, meaning even a Nesua can get engaged right away. So, mi alima memasisin du kimden barusos grushos yinosu. So, this is no bigger raya or no less a raya from our Mishnah, where we explain that our Mishnah is not talking about where a person goes from a state of Nesuin to a case of Erusin. It's where a person goes from a case of Erusin to a case of Nesuin. Sachanami kola rusos grushos yinasu. So also over here, we could explain our Mishnah that he's not talking about Nesuin to Erusin, he's talking about Erusin to Nesuin. Good. So elami seifa. Really, the raya is from the seifa. Diktani v'kula lo yinasu ad shiulem gimel chadashim. So these women are not allowed to get married until there's 3 months in between the relationships. So in suvihu delo, hosar su shafer dami. So the diak is, you're not allowed to get married within 3 months. But to have Erusin, you're allowed to have Erusin right away. So Amar Rava, Teretz Veimahachi. Rav Yossi Amar, Kol Arusos Grushos Yinasu. All Arusos whose state of Erusin end are allowed to get married right away because there's no chance that she had a child from the first union. Chutz min Almana, except for an Almana b'mnei Ebal, because if her state of Erusin ends not because of Gerushin, but because of the death of her Arus, she is not allowed to get married right away because of Avelus. The Kama Ebal Shloshim Yom. And how much is her Avelus? How long is her Avelus? It's 30 days. However, Nesua is not allowed to have Erusin until 3 months elapse. Valmana min an Erusin mi yislay, but wait, so according to what you're telling me the Rav Yossi says that generally speaking, if your Erusin ends, you're allowed to get married right away. But if your Erusin ends because your Arus died, then you're not allowed to get married because of Avelus, which is mashma that you have to be noeg Avelus if your Arus dies. But is there Avelus mi isle evil va'tani Rav Chiya bar Ami ishto arusa? If your ishto arusa for your arusa lo onain, there's no aninas v'lo matamela. If you're a kohen, you can't be matameter v'chein he, and also she lo onenas, there's no aninas v'lo matamela, nor is she matame to nor is there a mitzvah to be matame to him. Mesa, if she dies, ena yarsha, he's not yarisher. Mesu, if he dies, then govak subasa, then she collects her ksuba. But it's mashma that there is no avelus for an arus. Ela tanoi, rather it's a machlokes tanoim. The tanya merish chodesh varatanis from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'av. Everybody stops doing business. From getting engaged and getting married. You're also not allowed to take a haircut and launder clothing. Others say that kibbutz and tesporis are also the entire month. Maska floravashi mi maidila ares, lares mamish, duma lamevid sudas erusin. How do we know that when it says that you're not allowed to have erusin during the 9 days, how do you know that it means that you're not allowed to get engaged? Maybe it means that you're not allowed to have sudas erusin. Hudi asur, holy are shaper dummy, but stam to get engaged is going to be mutter. Says the Gemara, iachi, if you're going to make that diuk, melisa, Melisa Linase Lami Lemevit Suvis Suan Havi Da Asur. Are you gonna tell me that you're allowed to get married, you're just not allowed to make a wedding? Halisa shaper dummy hachi ashta. So how could it be? Bishlam and nisuim below suudi kasimcha. Says the Gemara, no. You're not allowed to get married either way, because getting married is a simcha whether you make a big wedding or not. Eva erusim below suuda mi kasimcha. But stam to get engaged, it's only the beginning of the process. It's not really such a simcha unless you're making the associated suuda. So elam ravashi shani avelos chadasha me avelos ishana. So the Gemara says, you're right. In a konami, you are allowed to get engaged during the 9 days. So again, the kasha of the Gemara, oh, a long kasha. Why is it that you're allowed to get engaged during the 9 days, even though you're not allowed to do kibbutz? But during the period of shloshim, we're going to say that you're not allowed to get engaged, even though you can do kibbutz, even though you can launder clothing. So says Ravashi, fundamental distinction: shani avelas chadasha me'avelas yishana, and avelas chadasha is different from avelas yishana, which is avelas yishana is the avelas on the base of mikdash. V'shani avelas derabim me'avelas deyachid, and avelas derabim is different than avelas deyachid. Rashi explains that shani bein avelas chadasha the shishabav davi avelas yishana b'avelas derabim hilcha kila. Therefore, the question is, why aren't the halachas consistent? The answer is because the halachas are not the same. We're more makil by avelas yishana than we are by avelas chadasha. So even though by avelas yishana of Tisha B'Av, a person is allowed to get engaged during the 9 days, still during shloshim, she wouldn't. And that's why Rav Yossi, in the case of shloshim, requires her to wait until the shloshim is over before she would get engaged. All right, so we'll pick up in the mission tomorrow. Everybody have a great day and a gittin mayad.